It was Friday evening and I had to work. I was not particularly pleased with this scenario because there was a gathering I had heard about, which I was hoping to attend. But business before pleasure. Work hard and you will receive, the American way. So instead of engaging in social activity, I found myself making pizzas at the restaurant known as Monticello's. The employee's entrance was around the back, and there I found Dennis, sucking on a Newport and muttering the F-word in between each drag. Dennis was a 40-something-year-old rail-thin cook whose vocabulary mainly consisted of profanity. He always moved his arms in awkward jerks and had a strange gait due to the fact that one of his toes was missing. A car had ran over his foot one night while he was lying in the middle of the street drunk. At least that's what he told us. "Hey, Corey," he said when he saw me. He never could remember what my name was, and I had long since stopped correcting him. I just didn't really care anymore. Before I could respond, he had thrown his cigarette down the hill and gone back into the kitchen, slamming the door behind him. It was an old wooden deal with a screen on the top half and a wood panel on the bottom. The bottom wasn't there anymore because somebody had kicked it out in a fit of rage a few months before. Everybody in the restaurant said we should fix the door, but nobody ever actually did. Even after a raccoon had wandered into the kitchen one night, it didn't get fixed. People just complained more. Upon entry, my ears were assaulted by the sounds of frying food, clanging dishes, and multiple people swearing all at one time. Immediately inside the door was a salad area, a neat, clean little counter with little plastic tubs for all the various ingredients. Beyond that was the main kitchen, dish pit on the right wall, line on the left. The pizza area was in the far left corner. The place was hot and humid. The temperature usually hovered somewhere around 90 degrees. Ventilation was minimal, so there was usually a cloud of smoke hanging in the warm, moist air. Space was another problem, and we solved it by just tossing things onto whatever surface had a few inches of open space. Soon all the space was taken, and we had piles of random boxes and cooking utensils everywhere. Strips of flypaper hung from the ceiling. They were completely covered with insect corpses. This kitchen produced an indescribable odor. It was neither good nor bad, but it somehow stuck to everything. It would stay on my hands and clothes no matter how many times I washed them. Walking through the dish pit, I saw Roy unloading the dishwasher that another employee and I had dubbed Brosif Stalin. It only worked correctly on certain days. I think it had moods. Maybe it was alive and would one day rise up and cut our throats or boil us alive with its scalding water. Anyway, I exchanged pleasantries with Roy and moved on. He was a 2-time ex-con with 2 small daughters and a pretty serious drug habit. He usually referred to we use as young bucks and was a pretty intimidating guy until you got to know him. I was the last of the 4 pizza makers to arrive. There was Alvin, Michelle, and Ed. Alvin was a black man who talked fast and had a squeaky voice. Nobody could ever understand what he said, and other than that, he was a pretty cool guy. Tonight, all I could make out from his greeting was something about gladiatorial battles and swords. In response, I smiled and nodded, my standard procedure when dealing with Alvin's incoherence. Michelle was a friendly middle-aged woman who popped pills. And then there was Ed. Ed was an extreme egomaniac who was training to be an MMA fighter. The only 2 subjects he would discuss were how awesome he was and his sexual conquests. He would sing "I Love Myself" as he worked, and then laugh and say he was only joking. But we all knew he wasn't. Ed was the only person Ed had ever or would ever love. I never listened when he talked. I treated him the same way I treated Alvin's inability to speak like a normal human being. Pretend I hear, then smile and nod. Just agree with him. "Yes, Ed, you get more women than anyone else. Yes, Ed, you're greater than Jesus, Muhammad, the Buddha, and every other person or animal that has ever existed." That's the best way to deal with him. It just wasn't worth arguing. Then to work, which meant a repetitive, mind-numbing process of look at the slip, see what size pizza, toss correct size of dough, look at slip, see what toppings, put on said toppings, cook pizza, cut pizza, box pizza, repeat. It was a Friday night, so the slips piled up fast. I'd started at 5 o'clock, and within an hour, the entire length of our 5-foot slip holder was full, and there was a pile building on the counter. The stress was increasing, and Ed was breaking. He began to throw things and repeatedly scream the F-word. Meanwhile, Alvin was making random squawking noises, swigging Gatorade, eating dry Wheaties, and tossing out about 80 pizzas a minute. Michelle and I were rushing around, drenched in sweat, trying to make Sicilian and Chicago pizzas and get all the pies out of the fiery mouth of the great silver beast that was the oven at the same time. Making pizzas on a slow night is the greatest job in the world. You mainly sit around and BS with people, then occasionally make a pizza, which is fun if you aren't trying to make 50,000 all at once. But it is complete hell when it gets busy. You have a huge line of slips and you're moving as fast as you can. There is no time to rest because for every 1 slip you finish, 3 more come. You are toiling next to an oven that reaches temperatures over 500 degrees, so the already oppressive heat of the kitchen is multiplied. People have been known to faint. At one point during the night, the bartender came in the kitchen laughing. Two drunk people, one male, one female, had gone into the bathroom together, and now there were some interesting noises being emitted. Nobody from the kitchen went to hear this, but that was only because we were so busy. On any other night, the two people would have emerged to find a group of laughing restaurant workers. I wonder where those two will be in 9 months. Will there be a kid? How would he feel if he knew he was the product of a drunken rendezvous in a bar bathroom? Who cares? I have pizzas to make, customers to serve. I rarely see those customers. Only when I go out to get a beverage do I see who is consuming what I've made. There they all are, cows lounging in their feeding pen, dining at leisure, thinking they're only people in the restaurant, so they should be served immediately. The fact that we have 250 slips with multiple pizzas and most of those slips doesn't occur to them. They don't know we have all suffered multiple third-degree burns from the oven so they could stuff their faces. We work so they can sit there and say yes to obesity, say yes to high blood pressure, diabetes, heart attacks, dying young. They just sit there and complain that the food isn't coming fast enough. This pizza doesn't have exactly 20 pepperonis. This pizza's crust isn't the right shade of golden brown. Cook it again and again and then three more times. They complain and I say, yes ma'am, yes sir, I understand. This pile of cholesterol and heart disease is not prepared the way you would like. I would do my best to fix it. I smile and nod. I'm polite and friendly, even when they are rude. Even when a fat man is standing there with a purple face telling me how much I suck, I am calm. I am pleasant because I know that I'm helping him die, one pepperoni at a time, and he's paying me for it.